We do desire an answer in your prayers. I'd studied on something all week, I still think it's something I'll have to preach on, but it just wasn't right. The timing wasn't right. And I got this thought around 8:30 this morning, so we'll do the best we can with it. Y'all know how I like to be prepared, and I'm scared to death of not being prepared, but I'm more scared of not following the Lord. And we're going to take a reading lesson out of Numbers chapter 12. And the thought we have is the meekest man on earth. And the definition of meek is in the Hebrew is gentle, humble, and lowly. And it's really hard to not want to defend yourself when something goes on or happens and when somebody attacks you. It may not be for y'all, but sometimes it is for me. And but we're to be meek. We're to be gentle, and we're to be humble. I really believe if we're going to be any type of person that's going to be a help to somebody, without humility, we just ain't going to be much help to nobody. I don't think there's no room for pride in this word. But I want to read to you. We'll be reading the whole 12th chapter, and I know I'm not a good reader, but we'll do the best we can. And then we're going to try to preach on this. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, we'll say this for it. It said the meek shall inherit the earth. That Jesus said that. And I used to not think I was too concerned about inheriting the earth. I thought it's going to be destroyed. But I do believe there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe what he's talking about there may be to do with that. And so keep in mind how we're to act, how we're to present ourselves. Moses is who we're going to be talking about here and for a little while. Moses, as far as a pastor goes, I don't know nobody that ever, and I know he was the church in the wilderness. And that's what that's talking about. Moses was their leader, their under-shepherd. You'll find that over in Acts. The church was in the wilderness. I know the church wasn't set up until the Lord set the church up. But it does, says the church that was in the wilderness. And so Moses was a leader to these people for 40 years in this wilderness. And these people were gainsaying. They murmured solid. They fuss solid. Nothing never pleased these people. God rained out. He gave them quail from heaven. He rained down manna from heaven. He gave them water from rock. He done all these things, and they murmured solid. And poor old Moses had to hear it. And you talking about meek. I'm going to just tell you right now, if y'all started attacking me as much as they did him, and I've been attacked along the way as a preacher, you're going to be. People are going to come to you, and they're going to come after you a little bit. They come after our Lord, and we're no greater than he is. But listen, if they done it me like, or if y'all done me like they done poor old Moses, I would probably lose some of my meekness, some of my gentleness. But we're going to read to you here, and it says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses. It was bad enough when the children of Israel was doing this. But here now we've got his brother and his sister that now they're speaking against him. They're coming after him now. And I want to tell you, this man, he had to be meek. He had to be gentle. He had to be humble. And I believe in all my heart, if we're going to have a revival, we need to pray. And I also believe that for us to be able to pray, how the Bible says, if my people will humble themselves. So for me, the first time I ever talked to the Lord, I had to be humble. And I want to tell you, that ain't changed one bit since then. Every time that I've ever spoke to the Lord since then, I've come to Him in a humble, submissive way, knowing that I needed Him. And so my thought is that we might be meek. We might be humble. And even though people may come after us and attack us from time to time, we never need to forget the example in that. So Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And that's where our thought comes, folks. The meekest man on earth. And y'all pray for us, because I've never had this thought before this morning. And I've not had too much time to study, but I pray the Lord will give us some words to be a help to somebody. And the Lord spake, I want you to know, He will fight your battles. You don't have to get up and fight. You do not have to defend yourself. When they attack you, you let the Lord fight your battle for you. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron to Miriam, come out ye, the three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud, and he stood in the door. And usually when he talks to Moses in the door, it's not good for the rest of the ones that are around. But he said, the pillar of the cloud, and he stood in the door of the tabernacle, and he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be any prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him. In a vision will I speak unto him in a dream. And my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. And with him will I speak my mouth to mouth, even separately, and not in dark speeches, and the substitute of the Lord shall be hold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam become as a leprous and white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us where we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead whom the flesh is half consumed with he that cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed even 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. After that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. again. And afterward, the people were moved from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. And with a mistake we made reading, that's reading the whole chapter. And we want to go over here in Isaiah, and we want to take for a text over there. If we get turned over there to it here in a minute, y'all pray for us this morning. The 53rd chapter in the 7th verse, he said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before the shears, dumb, so opened not his mouth. And I look at Moses here in the type and shadow. He was, as when he was being attacked, our Lord and Savior, when they brought him forth to be crucified, and they accused him falsely. They attacked him. They come after him. And yet he opened not his mouth. He never said a word. And I want you to know, there's a picture here of Moses. I just like he always did. When the children of Israel committed a sin against God, Moses, instead of coming after them and attacking them, I want you to realize he always prayed to God for them. He sought God on their behalf. And I want you to realize he done the same thing. We find here that Miriam, she got leprosy because she attacked Moses. I want you to know today, people today, they do not mind attacking the man of God. And I want you to tell you something right now. You better be careful how you come after God's man. Because when you attack God's man, there will be a price to be paid for that. So they'll come after Moses because he took this Ethiopian woman for wife. And I want you to realize today, we all make mistakes. We've all done wrong through life. You better consider yourself when you come after someone. When you go to talk about somebody else's child, you better consider what may happen to your child. When you go to talk about somebody else's wife, you better consider what may happen to your wife. When you go to talk about a family, you better consider what might happen to your family. I want you to know God will protect his people. And he knew Moses was not going to say anything. He was the most meekest person on earth. I want you to realize, even Moses, he finally got his belly full. When those people had the very thing he was known for, he ended up losing his temper, getting angry and smoking the rock twice. And that's what kept him from being able to enter into the promised land. I want you to know, you can be humble. You can be meek. You can be gentle. But if you're not careful, you can be just like Moses. It all can get away from you in a minute. And before you know it, you can do more damage in a few seconds than all you good you've done in your whole life. So we find what an example Moses was as he led these children through the wilderness for 40 years, and them murmuring and complaining and fussing. He got to the point that even his own family began to attack him. And I want you to realize today you're going to be attacked. Right? We're going to be attacked. There's going to be people going to come after us. Satan for sure is going to come after us. But I want you to realize today, when you are attacked, that's how you handle yourself, and that is going to prove whether you're a child of God or not. And you say, how do we prove we're a child of God? Well, I want you to know we're saved by God's grace, but after that, there should be fruits about us. There should be difference in us than the world. I want you to realize when the next time when somebody comes after you and attacks you, you put a heap of coals on their head. You pray for them instead of going after them to attack them. You turn the other cheek and you say, well, preacher, that's hard to do. Amen. I'll say it's hard to do. I know it is. But I also know that people are watching us. And when you stand up and defend yourself and you begin to argue and fuss among other people, if it ain't in front of nobody but God, you're proving exactly what you are. that we're not to be of this world, but we're to be different. So we're to be humble. We're to be meek. And I begin to think about Jeremiah. How he handled himself. And I want to go over and read the scriptures talking about him being the weeping prophet. And I want you to realize today, we're to always be humble. This is never, the pulpit is never a place to attack people. And that's the picture of Moses there. Being the leader, he was not their spiritual leader. No, sir. God was their spiritual leader. But he led them through the wilderness. I want you to know, I am to lead you in the right directions. And when I get where I'm leading you into the ditch, then you need another pastor. Jeremiah in the 15th verse in the 13th chapter, he said, "Hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness before your feet. Stumble upon the dark mountain. And while ye look for the light, he turn it into the shadow of death. Make it gross darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and my eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away into captivity. I say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory." So he said for the kings and the queens to humble themselves. He said that he wept with tears that run down his face. You can go over and read in the 20th chapter of Acts where the apostle Paul, he said, "With many tears I have warned you." He said it in a couple places there. I want you to realize today, we are to be humble. You say, "Well, Brother Jeff, we also got to stand." And I say, "Amen." But when you've done all you can do, then you stand. I don't find where our Lord ever argued and fussed with people. I never find where he defended himself. You know what they crucified him for? They crucified him for when he finally said, "Art thou the Son of God?" And he said, "I am." And they said that was blasphemy, and that's what they used for a charge to crucify him. He never defended himself one time. He was truly the meekest man on earth. Moses was just a picture of that. So as I begin to think about what it's going to take for us to have a revival, what is it going to take for us to be able to reach our children? What is it going to take for us to be able to reach our grandchildren? And we always tell them, you've got to humble yourself. He's dying to those with a broken heart. And he's saving such with a contrite spirit. I want you to know there's no difference between us and them. He's dying to those with a broken heart. Until we get to the point that we humble ourselves, that we come meek as Moses, and we become a one that they can see that we can help them. I want you to know Jeremiah, I was a leader, and he wept. He was humbled. You say, "Well, it ain't in tears." I want you to know, I want you to realize today, it don't hurt to cry a tear. Don't be so proudful. That was the very thing that kept me from being saved for years. That's because I wouldn't humble myself. And I want you to realize today, if we don't have a revival, it will be because we don't humble ourselves. when the 2001 and 19, what we call 9-1-1, when those planes, when we watched them planes fly into those towers, many of the children here today and was born when that happened. I got up on that Sunday, that Monday morning, and it was just like any other day. It was a September day, blue skies. Everything looked beautiful. I was getting ready to go to work. I had breakfast. I had nothing going on, no hurry. All we was going to do was put some tires on the old trailer that day because our tires had got bald. And we was going to have to leave out on a big job on Tuesday, and I wanted to have good tires on my trailer. So we was getting ready to do that. My friend or my work partner comes in. We're sitting in yonder. I turn the TV on a second, and all of a sudden I see a plane flying to this World Trade Center. And I said, Sheila, have you seen this? And she come in there. We're sitting there talking about it. And then a little while later, here come another and flew into her again. Then we begin to hear the leaders of this nation. All of them begin to say, pray. They begin to humble themselves. Our kings and queens begin to humble themselves and see that we were no longer in control, that we needed God. Back in 2020, we were sitting watching the news, and over in China, there was a disease got broke loose, and they had all these HVAC suits. And my wife looked at me and said, this is not going to be good. I had no idea what was in store for us. And then you begin to see people say, humble yourself, pray, seek the Lord. I want you to know God has a way of humbling us if we're not willing to humble ourselves. As we wander through the wilderness, as we go through, strolling through, not knowing what lays ahead of us, murmuring and complaining, we need to humble ourselves and call on God, because that's where our help is going to come from. We need to be meek. We need to be lowly. We need to be humble. If we're going to have a revival, it's going to come that way. And I don't know no other way it's going to come. You say, well, it'll come through prayer. We can't pray until we get humble. So as we look around, my wife has prayer for her grandbabies earlier. We look around at these children, these sweet little innocent babies. I held little Harvey. I went to Bowling Green last night. I held little Harvey in my lap, sitting over there, and sang a rockabye baby to him. And he'd look up at me. He'd just cry. Next thing I knew, tears were rolling down my cheek. And Sheila said, what's the matter with you? I said, I don't know what he's going to have to face. I don't know what he's going to go through. When I was about 15 to 16 year old, one of the greatest men I ever thought, one of the meekest men I ever thought was ever on earth, was my pa, and he died. And that was so hard for me. And I said, I won't always be there for him. I won't always be able to protect him. I won't always be able to take care of him. And then I realized I can't right now hold him in my arms. No matter how much we hold him, no matter how much we love on him, we got to give him to God. We've got to have God, and they've got to be able to see that about us. So Moses was there talking to him in the door, talking to God there at the door. Jesus represents that door.
He's our mediator. He's the one between us and God. And then God called for Mary and Aaron. He said, y'all get on over here, both of you. Come on. It was time to go behind the woodshed for a little while. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. Be a Moses. Don't be a Aaron. Don't be a Miriam. Don't be out there trying to tear your brother down. And we're to esteem them. We're to lift them up. Amen. Higher than ourselves. Amen. But they spoke against Moses. We need to be humble. We need to realize that we cannot do this. We can't have a revival. Brad, as good a preacher he is, and he is, he can't bring a revival. Brother Benji, there ain't a better preacher in this country, bar none. He cannot bring a revival. When we had that good revival a couple, 3 years ago, we talked about it a lot because I loved it and it was good. We come in, Brother David, he didn't get to preach for, I don't know, a day or two. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was here in such a way that ministers couldn't minister. Solomon had prayed. He'd prayed in the sixth chapter over there. He prayed to the Lord and said he humbled. He said he went down on his knees before the altar. And if you look over there in the seventh chapter about my people humble themselves, it says bend the knee. You say, well, preacher, it ain't got nothing to do with the position of your body. I want you to know, no, it has to do with submission of your body. And I'll tell you this, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So don't think you're going to get out of this thing without bowing. I've said all this to be able to get to where my thought, and it's very, very, very familiar scripture. We're to be humble. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come as a servant. He washed the feet of the disciples. Amen. He served, come to serve tables. He come to wait on us. So we're to be meek. We're to be lowly. And we're to be humble. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Amen. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. I am meek. I am lowly. I come. He humbled himself. He come to be a servant. He come. He offered himself even unto death, even unto the death of the cross. He went before them and never said a word. He never once defended himself. He was humble. He was lowly. He was meek. So the meek shall inherit the earth. I don't understand everything about the new heaven and new earth, and I got a feeling you don't either. But I got a feeling when it says the meek shall inherit the earth, it's not the one we're talking about right now. It's going to be a much grander, special place. You want to have a revival? You here today and you want to be saved? Humble yourself before the Lord. If we're going to have a revival, it's going to have to come that direction. So We got what, 2 weeks? Is that right? 2 weeks before the revival starts. Has he come to your house yet? Has Satan visited you yet? He has mine. He's going to come in the next 2 weeks. And he's going to attack you. You rest assured on it. He's going to come in a way, and he's going to come after you. And how you handle yourself in that is whether we're going to have revival or not. If you think you can fix it on your own, if you're full of pride and you can take care of it all on your own, then try. But you can't do it. We're to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. He'll flee from us. This is one of the strongest pastor's wives I've ever met in my life. I've seen her break down and squall this morning 2 or 3 times. Satan comes after us. Sometimes he comes after her with our family members, the ones we trust, the ones we love. So I don't believe Aaron and Miriam knew what they was doing. I think they thought they was doing the right thing. Is Moses the only one God talks to? What about us? They was putting herselves up there, wasn't they? That's just like, is Jesus the only mediator between us and God? Amen, he is. And you better not forget it. So people and Satan's going to come after you. We can try to defend ourselves and say, I never done this, or I didn't do that, I didn't say this, I didn't say that. Or I done this and I done that, you done this, what about what you done? We can do all that, and we can even get in a fist fight if we want to. But I want you to know every one of these babies is watching us. I was always raised, you don't start a fight. That's what Daddy and I've heard Marty say this, and that's what they told us. You don't start a fight, but you make sure you finish it. You know, if they hit you in the end of the nose, you hit them in both eyes in the end of the nose. That ain't what Jesus said. He said, you turn the other cheek. And I'm going to tell you, that's hard to do. I ain't going to say that's easy. It's not. We was children, we'd say sticks and stones shall break our bones, but your words will never hurt me. That's a lie. I watch my grandchildren come home all the time after somebody said something to them at school crying. I won't be honest with you. There's times people say something to me. I'll go out and old hallelujah chainsaw shot and sit out there and wild cry and thank Lord I love them so much. Why would they say that to me? Why would they want to hurt me like that? It's not easy. When people come after you, when Satan comes after you, but try to be like our Lord and Savior. The meekest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Be more of a Moses. Be a Jeremiah. The Bible says, if we're going to have a revival, he said, we'll sow in tears, we shall reap in joy. When we water the ground where the seed's been sown, you know where that water should come from? the very tears that run down our cheeks of our face. If we'll humble ourselves, we'll have revival. I hope something, I know this has been scattered, and but this is what God laid on my heart this morning, and I had to come and try to preach it. And I'm thankful today when we follow Him, He'll never lead us into the ditch. I might lead you in a ditch, but He'll never lead us in a ditch. So that's our thought. We might have a song, Brother Sean. We'll have a handshake. I want to give an altar call today if you're here and you're lost. I'd encourage you to seek the Lord. But I appreciate everybody being here with us. I want us to have revival. And for us to have a revival, He's nigh to those with a broken heart. And He saves us as a contrite spirit. When Peter went off into the water in the storm, he took his eyes off of God and he said, save me. And the Lord reached down and picked him up. Peter didn't need to be born again. Peter is already saved. I want you to know we need the Lord. We're in a storm today and it's crashing all around about us. And if we're not careful, we'll take our eyes off the Lord. And when we take our eyes off the Lord, I want you to know right now, we're going to sink. So it'd be a whole lot better for us to stay humble and keep our eyes on God. Go ahead with your song.